Your online feature will begin in just a moment. First, a reminder that BBN is a listener-supported Christian radio and internet ministry. To support us, click donations at bbnradio.org. That's donations at bbnradio.org.
Hey, how's that home building project going? Let BBN help you as you build a strong family to the glory of God. Welcome to Building Blocks for the Family from the Bible Broadcasting Network. Are you thinking about raising teenagers? Well, you've come to the right place. Our message today is from Frank Hamrick. It's entitled, Help, I've Got a Teenager. Here's Frank Hamrick.
I think that I know a little bit about parenting, and mostly what I know is what doesn't work, what you don't do. Those are generally the things I think that we as parents learn along the way. But some of the things, the statements I think that you will hear most often are things like, my parents don't understand me. Mom, you just don't understand me. You know, of course, we all live back in caveman days and went to school with a horse and buggy and so forth, and they realize that we don't understand any of the modern things that are happening today. We're so out of date. Another thing then that we find is that teenagers, as a result, feel like that the problem is, I understand you, Mom and Dad, but you don't understand me. And one of the things I've tried to get across to my teenagers and to remind them of is this, that teenagers have never been parents. They have never been parents, but parents have been teenagers. So I think that we do have the experience on that. So when I have young people to tell me, well, you just don't understand us teenagers, I say, oh, wait a minute. I've been a teenager. Believe it or not, I know that seems impossible, but I have been a teenager. Now, understanding is a two-way street. So it's not only important that they realize that I understand them, but in turn, they do need to understand some things about us. So there have been times I just have to sit down with my children and remind them of the fact that I once was a teenager myself. Always let them realize that you do understand. I think that is important. I do understand. Listen to teenagers. And when they are complaining or griping, don't argue, but instead agree. I understand. Now, boy, that takes all the props out from under them. Because what they want you to do is argue with them. You are the authority. You will not listen. You do not understand them at all. And so I just have to stop and say, hey, wait a minute. I understand perfectly. I used to be your age and I was exactly like you. And I felt the same way. I know how you feel. And I can understand that. And I can agree with that. But there are some things that I've learned along the way that made me realize that when I was thinking that at that your age, I was wrong. And here they are. So you begin by agreeing with them. And then you show them the change, the things that you have learned meanwhile. Now, there are things, however, that we do tend to forget. I find that in my own life. Sometimes I just have to sit down and remind myself, now wait a minute, when you were that age, were you not this way? So we do tend to forget certain things. And so for that reason, we're going to ask ourselves today, what is a teenager? What is a teenager? We're going to look at their nature and their interest, their attitudes, and then we're going to give you some tips. All right, as to their nature, first of all, they are oscillators. Oscillators. That's spelled, I think, O-S-C-I-L-L-A-T-O-R-S. What is an oscillator? An oscillator is something that goes back and forth, back and forth. It's constantly moving, back and forth, oscillating. Now, what do I mean by that then? All right. Teenagers are not children, and they are not adults. So what happens? They're trapped in the middle, and there are times when you will find that your teenager will act like a child, and then there are times, very few, but there are times when they will act like an adult. Now the problem is this, you're going to see that adult attitude at times coming out in them. And you're saying, boy, my kids are really advancing. I can see it. They're beginning to mature. I can see them just acting more and more like an adult. Actually, we say teenager, but we mean like an adult. And then, about that time, we decide we can give them responsibility. So we give them some responsibility because now they seem to be showing that they can take responsibility. We give them the responsibility, and immediately they oscillate back to acting like a child. And they fail in that responsibility. So they're oscillating. Therefore, because of that, number one, expect them to fail. Expect them to fail. I think one of the worst things that we can show is surprise when they fail. Shock. Horror. I can't believe that you would do that. I can't believe that that would happen to you. No, I expect my teenagers to fail. After all, they are not adults. And so they're going to constantly be going back and forth because they are becoming an adult, but they're not one. So they're going to act like a child sometime, then they're going to act like an adult sometime. Now that means number two then, don't blast them. Don't blast them. By that I mean this. Don't get so upset with them that you literally destroy their confidence. Kids are very concerned about failure anyway. And we can destroy their confidence very easily. Now, don't beat them over the head with the Bible when kids fail. And I'm afraid too many times that that's what we do. We want to take the Bible and throw it at them and just tell them, boy, how here you are wrong and there you're wrong. And look what the Bible says. And the Bible says that you're supposed to obey us, or the Bible says this, or the Bible says that. Now what happens is they come to the place they start hating the Bible. And then they also start hiding their mistakes and their failures. I don't want my teenagers to hide their failures. I want them to be very open and honest with me. But if every time they are open and honest with me, I jump down their throat, then what I'm doing is I'm cutting off any opportunity for future communication. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, we read this, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly," that's the rebellious young person, "comfort the feeble-minded." You say, oh, I've seen some teenagers like that. Well, the feeble-minded literally means easily discouraged. Easily discouraged. That's literally what the word means. Feeble-minded means weak determination. Is what that means. Feeble means weak, and the word minded has to do with determination. And the word in the Greek literally is they have weak determination. They're easily discouraged. It doesn't take much for them just to throw up their hands and quit. And then there's a third type of young person listed here, and that is support the weak. There's the unruly, the feeble-minded, and the weak. Now, the weak means one that does not have character in their life. And you'll find that you have three kinds of problems with young people. They either have not developed character, or else they are easily discouraged. It doesn't take much to make them just say, I quit. Or else they are rebellious. But that first group is generally the smallest group. And most of the time when we say that our teens are rebellious, in reality, it's not that they're unruly. In reality, it is that they fit into these other two groups. What happens is this. You have one group of young people the truly rebellious, the unruly, and they absolutely don't want to have anything to do with authority, anything to do with God, anything to do with anything spiritual. They have made up their mind and they are going the opposite to the way the rest of society is going. But there really are few young people like that. Instead, you have a large group over here that's easily discouraged. Now, the problem is the easily discouraged act just like the unruly, the rebellious, outwardly. They have tried and failed, and somebody jumped down their throat. That's why he says in this verse to comfort the feeble-minded. And that word comfort is the word that means encourage. So the easily discouraged young person needs encouragement. Now, if I have a young person in my home that's easily discouraged, and he fails, and as I've said, he will because he's an oscillator, and I then jump down his throat, rather than encouraging him, since he's already easily discouraged, what am I doing? I'm stepping on him and pushing him further down in the mud. If young people are already easily discouraged, then for me to jump all over them about something is just to push them even further down. And so we have to be careful about being so negative with our young people. Otherwise, then, we totally discourage them. Now, here's what happens. They finally come to the place they don't even want to try. Now, I've tried and tried, and I can't do it. No use in me trying. And then that's when they sit there and they do that, and look around when you're trying to talk to them. Because they have tried and tried, and they have failed and failed, and they don't want to hear it anymore. And every time they fail, you're going to jump down their throat anyway. So what happens is they end up looking like they are rebellious when in reality, deep down in their heart, they really want to do it. But they're easily discouraged. Or it may be that they're weak and they do not have the character yet to do certain things. And we'll be talking about that as we go along. All right. The second thing about teenagers' nature is they're not only oscillators, but B, they are short on experience. They are short on experience. They haven't had the opportunity to learn from their mistakes like you have. We have made a lot more mistakes than they've made. Therefore, we're a lot smarter than they are. And I think we need to realize that. You take a child, can you imagine taking a six-year-old and telling them to go out and wash your car without instructions? You know what you're going to get. He'll probably have Ajax, if he uses any soap at all, and some steel wool, and be scrubbing your car with Ajax and steel wool, perhaps, and then not wash it off. Could be all kinds of problems. What do we have to do? We have to show them step by step by step. Now, young people are short on experience. Therefore, number one again, expect them to fail. What I want to get across is, folks, don't expect perfection out of young people. So don't, again, get upset and jump down their throat. I expect them to fail. When they don't fail, I am pleasantly surprised. And then I can honor them for that. But there's no use in jumping down their throat for something that I already expect them to do, and that is to not get it right anyway. And that means then that, number two, I must teach them how to do things. I think that's one of the big problems in our homes. We get the young people to do it. They don't do it right. We jump down their throat because they didn't do it, and then we tell them how. And we should tell them how to begin with, but we don't want to take the time. I'm too busy. That's why they've got to do it anyway. I don't have time to do all that. If I've got to tell them every step they got to take, I might as well do it myself. You know, you tell them to clean up the kitchen. Or go in there and make a sandwich. And they have to call you for everything they want to do. Where's the bread? Where's the mayonnaise? How do you put that on? You know, and on and on and on it is. It goes. Where is this? Where is that? How do I do this? How do I do that? And so we feel like saying, well, I just forget it. I'll come and do it myself. And we lose our patience. Well, they need to be taught how. So the best thing is, to begin with, teach them how. So they're short on experience. Number three, or C, they are immature. They're immature. Now, there are two characteristics of an immature person. You can always tell when a person is immature. Two things about them. The first is, they are now oriented. Now oriented. Now, understand this about young people. Two things they are not interested in, folks, is the past and the future. They're only concerned about right now, right today. When you start off by saying, now let me tell you, when I was a child, when I was your age, you know what happens. They start rolling their eyes back and, oh, brother, here it comes again. Yeah, I've heard all of that. I know. Let me tell you, I know this about when my dad was growing up, folks, when my dad was growing up, it was an amazing time. Do you realize it must have snowed 365 days a week? A year, I mean. 365 days a year. It was always snowing. And the snow must have been at least, you know, up to your waist all the time. And it stayed that way. Furthermore, I don't believe they built any schools within 4 miles of a house. Because every parent I've ever known had to walk to school 4 miles and walk back. And he did all of that trudging through the deep snow. And he'd come back and have to milk the cows and do all of this. And then after he got all that done, late at night, poring over his work and fall exhausted into bed. That's the way it was back then. Those were amazing times. And when you start off by saying, well, now, when I was your age, when I was a child, they think, oh, come on, don't put that on me. I didn't live back in caveman days. This is now. This is today. And then another thing they're not interested in is the future, because they're now oriented. Not interested in the future. Now, here's what we often say. Now, listen, one day you're going to need to know that. They'll think, okay, one day I'll get to know it. But I don't need to know it now. I need to know it one day, so I'll worry about it one day. You know, when I was in school, first class, every year, first day of school, every teacher had to impress on me how important that particular subject was. You know, now this class in advanced ceramics is a great and important class, and when you're out there in that jungle someday living in the world, you're going to need to know about advanced ceramics because you're going to meet a lot of crackpots and so forth, and you're going to need to understand all of this subject matter. Well, you know, you were hearing that, and you were thinking, oh, ma'am, you know, I'll worry about that then, but look, I've got a date tonight. What good does advanced ceramics have to do with a date tonight, or power square, you know, or all of that? I don't see the use of that now. They live in the very now, and that's because they are immature. It makes them now-oriented. They don't worry about the future, and they're not interested in the past. Now, you have to remember that when you're dealing with young people. And I'll show you what to do with that in just a moment. But let's go to the second thing. Since they're immature, they're not only now-oriented, they are also idealistic. Idealistic. Now, what I mean by idealistic, they see everything through rose-tinted glasses. It won't happen to me. That's their favorite phrase. Now, they may not say that, but they think that. I was just noticing just this week, one of the baseball players, one of the better baseball players, been caught up in drugs. And now he can't play, and he has to go to a drug rehabilitation center. And I was thinking about that, and I asked this question. I said, why would he do that? Does he not know that he can't get by with that? That drugs will catch up to him sooner or later. This guy is on top of the world. He may be considered today the greatest baseball player in the world today, or pitcher, greatest pitcher in the world today. He's making all this money, and then he does that. Why? Because he was thinking, it won't happen to me. I'm sure Lynn Bias did not believe that he would die when he took those drugs as a basketball player at the University of Maryland. After going up and talking with the Boston Celtics and coming back and taking drugs that night, next morning he's dead. He had no idea. He did not believe that. Had he believed that, he would never have taken them. But because of immaturity in young people's lives, it won't happen to me. They get involved in all kinds of things. And one of the great reasons that your young people get involved in those things is because of immaturity. Now, how do we deal with that then? Here are two things. Therefore, number one, show them why they need this now, whatever it may be that you're talking with them about. You must show them the importance of it now in their life. Now, you can go on and on and on showing them, well, now, look, I want you to think maturely now. You've got to think maturely. You're going to need this 5 years from now. You're going to need this 10 years from now. You're going to need to know this when you get married. You can say that from now till you are blue in the face. They're still immature, and they can't become mature by you saying that to them. They're still not going to worry about it because they haven't grown to that place of maturity. So there's no use in trying to go back down that alley again. Well, I know now they're immature. They don't think about the future, so therefore I've got to impress on them the importance of the future. No, that'll have to come in time on their own. You have to deal with them where they are. They are immature. They do think of it only in the sense of now, so you have to frame things in the sense of now. Why is this important to you now? Why do you need to learn this now? Now, sometimes that requires some real hard thinking on your part. Why do they need it now? Let me just give you one illustration in the area of salvation. When I deal with people, I found that many times I was dealing with people's salvation on the basis of the future, not now. Why do I need to be saved? Well, I'll tell you why you need to be saved. One day you're going to die. What is that, now or future? That's future to everybody. It's not now. Nobody thinks they're going to die now. So that's future. That's one day. Okay, one day I'll get saved. Yeah, but you need to be saved now. Well, why? Well, you might die now. Well, I don't believe that. It won't happen to me. So you couple those two things together. It's not going to happen to me. Not now. So why do I need to be saved now? That's the point I've got to get across to young people when I'm dealing with young people about salvation. Why they need to be saved right now. You ever thought about that? Why would a young person need to be saved now? Apart from the fact they might die now, because they don't think they will. So if you put yourself in their mind and realize they're not thinking about the future and they believe everything's going to turn out all right and it won't happen to me. Now, it's on that basis that you're going to have to then work with them and convince them that they need this now. So it's very important that we show them why they need whatever it is we're trying to show them now. Number two, as to their idealism, here's what we have to do. We have to let them fail and pay the consequences. I think it is very important for young people to fail and to let them fail. So many times we keep them from failing. We guard them so tight, we don't allow them to make mistakes. Many times we don't allow them to make any wrong decisions. Well, that's the wrong decision. Why? Well, I know. Because I'm an older adult and I've been through that and I know that's the wrong decision and I'm not going to let you do that. And we do not let them make some decisions where we know it's not necessarily the best decision and it may lead to failure. Let them fail. And let them pay the consequences. Again, what we try to do is, when they fail, we try to cover it and smooth over it so they don't pay the consequences. So as a result, they continue to be idealistic. It won't happen to me. They need to learn it will happen to you. You will not get by You will fail. It will cost. And here are the penalties. And let them pay it. And let them feel it. It's one of the best ways in the world for them to learn. So, they're immature. We have to deal with them on that basis. Then D, they are feeling-oriented. Feeling-oriented. Young people, we say, are lazy. They really aren't lazy. Now, I can prove that. All you have to do is say, hey, we're going to play ball to a guy, and you'll see how lazy he is. Isn't that right? Girls can be all so tired. Listen, my daughter, my teenage daughter this morning, before I left, I asked her to clean up her room and make up her bed, and you should have seen, she is worn out. She's really sick. I'm really worried about her. I have to get back very soon after this session. But if I had said, hey, we're going to Golden East Mall, man, she would have jumped up and be getting dressed and everything else, ready to go out there. They're really not lazy. We know they have way more energy than we have. The problem is they are feeling-oriented. They do what they feel like doing. If they don't feel like doing it, they don't want to do it. So therefore, there are times when we have to make them do things. But when you make them do them, don't get so upset. You are the same way, feeling-oriented. And don't keep saying they're lazy to them. You know what will happen? They'll believe it. If I start saying things like that to my children, they believe those things. When they're told something enough, they believe it. I know there have been parents who've told their teenagers they were dumb. For a long, kids believed they were dumb, so they didn't try to make good grades. Why? I'm dumb. I can't do it. We can destroy again their confidence. That's that discouragement thing that we were talking about a while ago. And so we need to draw lines for them and say, this you will do and this you cannot do. I think that young people want that security.
Frank Hamrick, Help, I've Got a Teenager. We'll continue this next time. This has been Building Blocks for the Family from the Bible Broadcasting Network. We're helping you build a strong family to the glory of God.
That concludes this feature. We have many resources for you here at BBN. Click resources at our website, bbnradio.org.